This is only the third week on my Thanksgiving message. I'm going to try to finish it up this week, because next week I want to give you one of my Christmas messages, you know! Yeah, we don't do that Xmas thing, but I've got one Christmas message I really like, and I maybe, that's, you know, maybe all of you have heard it before, but I like this. I'm planning on it, Lord willing, I'll next week preach no more mangers. It's not going to be some little baby in the manger they're going to see next time. They're going to be dealing with something else. Anyway, I'm not going to preach next week's sermon already. I got to find it. I don't even know where I stuck it. So anyway, we were looking at Habakkuk and a little book that has a lot to say and a little book that we can much identify with in our day and age. Habakkuk's country was kind of in a mess internally, threats externally, and some of them he didn't understand. I can identify with all that. Habakkuk's name means embrace, can also be translated wrestle. He wrestles with the Lord about some of these things. He brings it to the Lord and like tells the Lord he can't understand. Lord knows where you're coming from. You can go to him and tell him how confused you are and that you don't understand. Lived in a wicked land, filled with wicked leaders, surrounded by enemies. Through it all, Habakkuk understood that God was on the throne, that he ruled and reigned, that he was working his perfect will, concerned with those like we sometimes see in our day, who, verse 12 of chapter 2, woe unto him that buildeth the town with blood, and established the city by iniquity. Bringing evident prosperity from wickedness. We talked about, I think last week, David that said, you know, sometimes I almost envy the wicked in his prosperity. Yeah, until I went to the house of the Lord and I saw what their end was. It's important to keep the perspective of things. Habakkuk looked about and it looked like the enemies were on the border. God was preparing and God had said he was going to use the Chaldeans, they weren't nice people, to punish Israel. Habakkuk is like, how can you do that? These people are more wicked than Israel. Well, they didn't belong to God, for one thing. God's going to chasten his own people, and God will sometimes use the wicked to chasten them. And so Habakkuk goes to God. He went to the right source with these problems he had. And he identified, as I can identify with the Old Testament Saint Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And eventually Habakkuk says essentially the same thing. As I shared last week, when I think about God and who he is and what he is, it's we're not here hopefully for what we get out of it. What I get out of church, we're here to glorify God. We're here to worship God. And I honestly think as the Lord's allowed me to understand who he is, if he were to throw me eternally, everlastingly into hell, I would praise his holy name. Because that's what I deserve. I shouldn't be looking for what I can get out of this or what's the payoff. That's what the Arminians are like, you know. Come get what you can get. Do this so you don't have to go to hell. Do this so you get this, so you get that. The prosperity gospels. God is holy. God is righteous. God is worthy of our worship and praise for who He is. I'm thankful that He has a people He chose from eternity, that He reveals to us that we were amongst that chosen. I'm thankful for that. And I guess as He brings us to that point, you know, we can understand, even if He didn't, we should praise His name. He deserves that. And so, Habakkuk had a bunch of things running through his mind, and we may have touched on some of these, but it was like, look at my country, God. How could you let it fall into this wickedness? How could you let it fall into this apostasy? How is it that you allowed Israel, your chosen people, to so depart from the way? How did this land in which we live so depart from the ways of those who went before us? And our founders, and leaving the things of of the past, leaving the things of those who stood for God-given rights. How could God allow that to happen? And then how could God now use these wicked Chaldeans, or Babylonians, if you will. How could He use these people to punish Israel? I mean, they don't even claim to worship the true God. Maybe kind of like Muslims and stuff like that, you know. You don't think God can't use the Muslims to give us a whipping? Habakkuk 1:6, Habakkuk said, for lo, God says to Habakkuk, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Habakkuk says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and hold thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Things didn't seem right. Seems a wickedness was being rewarded. I can't help us. We're so surrounded with everything, right? I can't help but think of some of these things. Listen, I didn't have a dog in that fight they did in November, the election mess. I've always said a pox on both their houses. But you look what's going on. I know some people who are generally right-thinking, and they align up with what they think is, like the fellow I was talking about, talks to me about the lesser of two evils, and then goes on to tell me himself that it's still evil. Then, you know, why? Why get yourself so wrought up about that? But regardless, some folks are so wrought up, and it does seem that the folks who are wicked and who cheat and lie and steal are the ones who are winning, right? We think that elections ought to be pure and just and right, like they've always been up until now. Yeah, wait a minute. I think maybe you've never read any history if you think that happened. I don't want to get off on that much, but I just, listen, your vote, you say, well, all this means my vote didn't mean anything. Your vote never meant anything anyway. Get over it. But God still reigns. God still reigns. So how is it that this wickedness is rewarded? How is it people who stuff ballots and manufacture ballots and do all, how is it that they're elevated? Well, in the short term, yeah, they seem to win. Proverbs, I think we touched on this last week, but fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked, for there shall be no reward to evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. God's keeping score. And as David said, he envied the wicked. He envied the foolish. He envied the prosperity of the wicked. until he says in Psalm 73, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood therein. There's things more important than if your guy gets in the White House. You know? If you really understand it, you don't have a guy. But anyway, that's... And there didn't seem to be any answers. There didn't seem to be any response to the prayers of the righteous. They're praying, God, you know, turn us around. Let's get this guy in there. Let's get a good king. Let's do this. And Habakkuk said, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Praying for the restoration of America. Some of us pray for the restoration of the Confederate States of America. And politically speaking, from the human point, that would be a great thing. But God's still in control. He knows. He rules and reigns. And so he wrestles with God over these things. Wrestles with his own thoughts and his own... God's sovereign. God knows what you think. It's okay to come and tell him what you're thinking. He already knows it. Then God will tell you how messed up you are, and help you and give you an attitude adjustment. Through all this, Habakkuk never questions who God is or his sovereignty. He continues to trust him, and he brings these doubts to the right place. The Republican National Committee or the Democratic National Committee is not going to answer your questions. They're not going to provide the answers. They're not going to go fix things. But God can. Back at 2:1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And so we find ourselves in similar circumstances. But here's the thing. And increasingly we see the ungodly and the tyrannical arise. But God's still on the throne. He's still in control. Even when it appears that things can't get any worse. Like we were talking about this morning. Say, well, surely 2021's got to be better than 2020. Yeah, well, maybe not. At least not from the human perspective. God has wonderful things in store for his people. But the wicked continue to ascend. And it seems that the answers to prayers are maybe not forthcoming. God is still worthy of trust. God is still deserving of thanksgiving.
That's right.
And that's really the difference between the hypocritical professor of religion and the true believer. Those are looking, what can I get out of it? Are things going my way? You know? If they're not, then what's wrong with God? Or what's wrong with the world? Or what's wrong with... He's in control. You can trust him. Habakkuk says in chapter 2 and verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Paul picks that up in Romans, in Galatians, Hebrews. The just shall live by his faith. Brethren, it's only yours because it was given to you.
Amen. That's right.
As we've been studying, in Galatians, Paul again and again talks about the faith of Christ.
Amen.
Your faith isn't worth spit. and it won't get you anything. The only faith that you possess that's worth anything, if it's been given to you, is the faith of Christ. And the just shall live by his faith. In Romans, Paul says, for wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, referring back here to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Brother, God is going to accomplish his perfect will in his perfect time. The just will live by his faith. You don't have to understand it. You have to trust God. And God gives to his elect that faith of Christ. Our God's to be worshipped, not because of temporal and material and physical blessings, though he certainly deserves praise for that, and he's given me much more in all those realms than I deserve. But it's not what you can get out of it. I want to tell you, come to church, you know, you'll get a lot out of it. Come to church, you'll feel better. Come to church, it'll make your life better. God's will is beyond our comprehension. But brethren, the bottom line as well, it's always ultimately for the good of his people. We so often refer back to Romans 8:28. Such an important passage. For we know all things work together for good. That's only possible if God's absolutely sovereign and if he's absolutely loving towards his elect. We know that they work for good. Someone has to be in control of it then. And if it's working for good, it's for the good of his elect people, to them that love God and to them are the called according to his purpose. Their sovereign love. And it goes on in that passage, you know, he says, whom he did foreknow. That word does not mean he looked down and saw what you were going to do and if you were good or bad and then he was going to act. No, that word foreknow speaks of a love, of affection. Knowledge in Scripture. Adam knew his wife. And this foreknow is speaking of a love before we were. For those whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Those that he loved before, he predestinated. And then it goes on to saying he called them and he justified them and he glorified them, or he will glorify them. If God be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes it doesn't look that way if you're counting the numbers. If you're looking at the battalions, it doesn't seem that the number of God before us, who can be against us? He's to be worshipped. He's to be praised simply for who he is, not for what it benefits us, though it certainly does. And so with that in mind, Habakkuk concludes chapter 2 of that book with an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. In Habakkuk 2 and verse 20, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. That's some powerful stuff there. God is in his holy temple. Let the whole world shut its mouth. It's got nothing to say. The atheist pipes up, or the progressive, and says, but what about being fair? Now, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the earth keep silent. Or the socialist talks about critical race theory. Let the earth be silent. God is in his holy temple. Who's going to question his maker? Who's going to question the Savior? And so Habakkuk comes and He's confused. He doesn't understand what's going on. He can't unravel it all. Even has in the back of his mind some doubts, but he comes to this point. He says, I can trust him. He's still on the throne. He's still in his holy temple. And the earth can't say anything about it. He breaks out in a song of thanksgiving to God for who he is and for his unchanging sovereign goodness to them that know him. Habakkuk 3 and verse 31. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Oh, I could even make one of my Christmas messages from this. Well, an incarnation message. Christmas is an abomination, but we know that. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. The incarnation. He went forth. God became man. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation of thine anointed. Messiah. Look here. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. Well, see if I remember something about that back in Genesis. The Protoevangel. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Stay on. Y'all know what that means. It's a pause. It's a musical pause. Habakkuk says he's writing this to the musicians. A pause. What that means? Stop. Think about it. Hey, look, stop. Think about it. This is something you need to think about. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. That verse is a sermon unto itself. Many sermons, in fact. I read that from Habakkuk, and I say, well, I could just read that and go home. Kind of sometimes like after I listen to Brother Howe in his opening prayer, and I appreciate his prayers, and it's like, well, I don't got any more to say. I could just go on home, you know?
Amen.
Habakkuk takes comfort in the salvation of God's people. God's going to save his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what's accomplished by the Messiah. That's what's accomplished by the Anointed One. He shall save his people from their sins. Brother Hal said he wasn't up there saying, well, I'm going to try to save everybody. I hope I can get a few of them to make a good decision. Oh, man, I'm so worried about what's going to... No. He came and he saved his people from their sins. And he said, it's finished. Well, that doesn't leave a whole lot to worry and fret about, does it? No. And so Habakkuk closes with a song of thanksgiving in the midst of the tribulation that's all about him and about his land, about his nation, enemies within and without. Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? That kind of sounds like what's on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Look what he says in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. Not even related to Habakkuk as far as I know. But it doesn't take a prophet or a son of a prophet to say, this country's going to collapse. The foundations are crumbling. The financial system is going to evaporate. The fig tree's not going to blossom. They're not going to be any fruit on the vines. The olive is going to fail. The fields aren't going to yield meat. Flocks are going to be cut from the fold. There's not going to be any herd in the stalls. Oh, I better go get me some medication then to see me through this. That's what the world says. Or go get some kind of distraction, or go get the right kind of political, get the right kind of White House, and that'll turn everything around. Nope. Back says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Like I said, he's kind of reflecting upon, elaborating upon what Job said. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Brother, that's the only place there's real peace. When the Lord brings you to that point, everything can fail. Well, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. He can slay me, but I'm going to praise him. And the Lord can only bring you to that point. I can't give you that. It's the faith of Christ. It's the gift of God. Gift of God. And then he goes on, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. There's better stuff coming for the elect of God. He will make me to walk upon mine hind places, and it says to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. So we see this Habakkuk was giving instructions to the temple singers and musicians. Now, external circumstances may make you uneasy. They may make you doubt. But Habakkuk says, listen, folks, God is still on the throne. Everything fails. We go bankrupt. The stock market goes through the floor. It's already through the floor, but they're propping it up with all this false money they're making. But that's a whole other story. But that's only going to work so long. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't know where I got this from. I probably shouldn't say it. I don't really mean it flippant, but maybe it'll make it stick in your head. And I'm not promoting gambling, okay? but someone said, and I can't really know where I got this quote from. Said, don't worry what hand you're dealt. God can win with a pair of twos. and set that in a broader and maybe better context. Remember in 1 Samuel 14:6. Israel's facing the Philistines. Jonathan's there with his armor bearer, and he's looking out. This vast horde in 1 Samuel 14, 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Sometimes I think, you know, I work hard. I try to get truth out there. I try to wake folks up. And nobody listens. Jonathan said, "Come on, boy. We're going to go on over there. God can win by the few just as well as he can by the many." So let's buckle on our swords and let's go and meet those Philistines. It didn't turn out too bad for Jonathan that time, but not everybody was happy. Upset some folks. And we'll get into that some other day. You can praise God for his sovereignty. He's still on the throne. And you can praise God because he loves his elect with an everlasting love. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so we ought to render unto him everlasting and continual thanksgiving. Even as we're surrounded by the mess we're surrounded by, but he's still threatened. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Though all these things happen that Habakkuk said, and all these things fail, and the stocks are gone, and don't matter. Don't matter. The worst is going to happen. You're going to go home to the Lord. They can do some pretty bad things before then, but let us then, by his grace, render unto him thanksgiving, not just on the third Thursday or fourth Thursday of November. It's not bad that we do that. And said that it would be better in December where the first Thanksgiving from our Confederate and Southern ancestors. But that's another story too. It's okay to set aside a day. But let's do it every day. He's still on the throne. He's on his throne every day. And you know what? The world can't say anything. They can't. They want to. They try to. I can't say a word. He's on his throne. Okay, let's take our hymnals. We're going to turn to page number 249, and we'll stand and sing this closing hymn if you like. Thou Hast Chosen, number 249. I like this little song.
Was not that I did choose thee for, Lord, that could not be. His heart will still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. Thou from the sin that slain me, washed me and set me free. And to the sin ordained me that I should live to thee. The sovereign mercy called me and taught my opening mind. The world and else enthralled me to heavenly glories blind. My heart is done above thee for God's grace I thirst. His calling, if I love thee, thou must have loved me first.
Amen. Brother James, would you like to close?
Sure. Our Father, we are again thankful, Lord, to be able to be here today in your house to hear your word preached. We do thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
for that wonderful sacrifice wherewith he gave his life that we might live. And Lord, we praise your holy name. And we know, Lord, that you are on the throne.
Amen.
And we do thank you, Lord, for all of the things and all of the strength and the things that we understand that you've given to us. So, Lord, we are in very difficult times now in these days. And, Lord, help us to rest in the fact that you are on the throne.
Amen.
And that you are all-powerful and that this world is going to have to answer to you. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you give us strength each day. Give us steadfastness. Help us to cast our all upon thee and to make you our shield and our buckler. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray, Lord, that you might give us opportunity in these last days to talk to some by the way and to give them the gospel of life, Lord, and to talk with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we would give thee the praise and the glory and the honor if you might reveal the precious gift of your Son to those around us, especially to our family members, Lord, that know not Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father. We pray that you give all those that have traveled traveling mercies,
yes,
today, that you be with them and keep them safe on the roads. And again, we thank you and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank